Something dark. Because I think I need a... I think we need to get started. This is going to be my my personal catharsis for a day. Hi, it's Eric Chase. We were going to line up a podcast tomorrow morning, maybe tonight. And when I say we, D is out of town in Vegas. Maybe you've followed what's going on with him. He's got some work stuff going on. Phillip's back from Denver. Ashley's had a week, so we couldn't get together. But some things have been on my mind, and I wanted to share. And you know, when we do the show Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight, I've got a little bit of time to talk, but not like podcast length time of talk. And that's what's great about podcasts. A lot of non-traditional content and not so mass appeal content can find its way to you. And I'm glad you found your way to this podcast. And I want to try to keep this under 30 minutes because the studio's got to get used and we've got to work on the show for this evening. It's Eric Chase. I'm glad you're here. And I said this has to be cathartic. Like, this needs to be a vent. This needs to be a release. Not real angry, but I've been, you know, I am aware of my triggers. And with all the Kavanaugh stuff going on, I can feel myself beginning to boil. And I should be proud of myself. I've exercised restraint. I have not contributed to any of the active discourse that's been going on since yesterday afternoon, which is as surreal as anything I've ever seen in my entire life. It takes a lot to make me pause and say the word surreal. But watching that was one of the few times. And I'm afraid I like to be mysterious because I like to provoke some thought. And again, I'm not going to, when I say this is going to be cathartic for me and I'm going to vent, this is more me, this is going to be my release. I walked the dogs in a nice day. I didn't go to the gym today and I want to just kind of be lazy, try to go look for new shoes, thought that would be helpful. Nothing has helped me cool off. Not even an episode of Chicago Med, which you can have your This Is Us. I really like Chicago Med a lot. So I figured, let me get in here a little bit early and pop off a podcast and talk about this thing with you. And this will be my catharsis. I do like to provoke some thought, and not in a necessarily negative way. I just want you to get inside your own head. That's kind of the theme of today. Be a cynic on your own cynicism. We'll try to work out a way to exercise the muscle or build the muscle of sympathy in just a bit, which is not something that, like, you can go to the gym and work out or practice meditation. I don't know how you practice sympathy. Let me see if I can give you a couple of methods as we weave through this. But to be mysterious, if I shared my Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford thoughts, I think I would upset a lot of people, maybe even everybody. So I won't, but I have watched the discourse go back and forth, and I have exercised that restraint to not participate in it. And maybe because I have not, some of my Facebook posts, some of my other social posts have not picked up today, because that's the dialogue of the day. But you know, I encourage you, when you feel that blood beginning to boil, do something about it. Whatever it is that works for you. An example I used yesterday when I got an opportunity to speak with some Zeph employees who are actually like caseworkers and clinicians. I've never spoken to a group like that before. They wanted me, the people that put it together, to talk to those people, how to work with people like me and others. And I hope I was helpful to them. But know your triggers, know your boiling points, and do what's meditative for you. The example I used was, if picking the nuts out of crunchy peanut butter feels good, therapeutic, and meditative, do it. You know how I like to sit in the shower? It's kind of like my Superman's fortress of solitude. It's my bat cave. It's dark. It's damp. It's obviously wet. I sit down in the shower and everybody laughs at me. But you know what? It makes me feel good. And there are no things as real comic book conventional superpowers. But I do think I have one superpower. It's like my not give a fuckery. Like, I give so few that I'm owed them. If I could pass that power off to other people, I wish that I could. Because I don't care what you think about my weird sitting in the shower. Just how I wouldn't care if you decided to count Q-tips or weigh the earwax that you got from using the Q-tip. Like I said, as long as it's not bad and detrimental to your life and it's therapeutic and meditative for you, do it. Whatever works. If it makes you feel better, it does. That's why, like, the placebo effect is real. You take a sugar pill, you think you're taking a medication, and it works because your mind is such a powerful agent. Just don't swap one bad thing for another. The age-old trite cliche comparison of, oh, great, you're not drinking anymore. You're smoking 7 packs a day. Oh, great, you gave up smoking. You've decided to eat a lot more. Don't swap one vice for another negative vice. But if it's weird and it makes you feel better and it's not negative or detrimental to your life or negatively impactful, do it. If, like my dad, doesn't drink, but he had a long-ass day the other day. He does car swaps, dealer swaps. Like, if he lives in Philadelphia, he works for a big car dealer, and if they, he likes to drive for whatever reason, he likes to drive. And the other day, he usually has to like stay regionally. Like, if it was here in our area, he'd go down to Dayton, up to Detroit, over to Fort Wayne. The other day, he went from Philadelphia to Boston and through New York City. It was like a 15-hour day. My dad decided to have a rum and coke. It doesn't mean he's going to turn into an alcoholic. I can, because it's, he just doesn't like it. He wanted something to take the edge off, so it wasn't negatively impactful to him. Him, like Demetrius, how they can drink any kind of soda or caffeine close to bedtime and still sleep is beyond me. That's a fucking superpower. So I'm not going to pass along, and the Kavanaugh thing is far beyond politics. It's civility and simple human relations, which we all often fail so often at. A couple of lighter things before we do the exercise for sympathy. Last night, might have recorded some of my show and went with an old friend that you know to go see Transformers, the movie, the original cartoon movie that came out, I think, in 85 or 86, which I sobbed at. Maybe the beginning of my coping skills, they were flexed when Optimus Prime was killed when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I was born in 79. I think that movie came out in 85 or 86. So I was like 7 years old. And the one... the one thing in my life, aside from my dad or my mom, that I looked up to and completely idolized was killed right before my eyes. So Hasbro could introduce new toys. Like, I was broken. So I go to see this movie last night, and it wasn't as nostalgic as I'd hoped it to be. Probably not worth the $14 because it didn't look all that great, and I have the Blu-ray version at home. But I've seen it like 4 dozen times in a variety of formats and in other languages. So it didn't have that nostalgic feel, but I did notice. And the question here is, have you ever watched a movie so many times when you finally catch something and go, why didn't I catch that the first 32 times? I like to think that I'm kind of like a Star Trek and Batman and Transformers savant. There is a very popular and commonly known character missing for no apparent reason in that movie. And I didn't catch it until last night. There was even a trivia question that said, name the characters that are in this movie. And that character that was missing in the movie, except for maybe a single screenshot, was not there. And all these dozens of times later, I finally saw that I missed it. And I went home and I Googled it, and apparently there's nothing but internet theories. No directors, no producers, no writers saying, we just goofed. And back in the day, in the 80s, if you're familiar with like any cartoon shows, there were all kinds of animation errors. There's probably dozens of websites that are devoted strictly to animation errors for old shows. And I don't think this was that. This would be such a big deal. But missed it until last night. So what's a movie or something you've watched over and over and over again? And then finally, you're like, how did I miss that so many times? It's so obvious. 20 under 40. I did not go. In case you missed some of the podcast earlier this week, 20 under 40, I was nominated, and thank you. 255 people overall were nominated. I didn't go. I didn't necessarily like that I was then supposed to encourage the people that nominated me to buy those very expensive tickets and come out. Granted, probably a wonderful networking opportunity, and I don't know where the money for all of that goes if it went to animals or mental health or something else like that. Autism, breast cancer awareness with the Komen race this weekend, or breast cancer research awareness and things like that. I didn't know about it, and I had a hard time asking you to spend money for that. And I didn't win anyway, unless they had 19 people chosen, or 20 people, and then they all, well, 19 people 20 people chosen, 19 showed up, I was the 20th, and they're like, Eric's not here, pick somebody else. That could have happened, I don't know. But I wasn't willing to kind of give into the racket of asking you to buy tickets, or if you received an email, if you're nominating me, to then buy tickets. I had an issue with that, so I couldn't do it. Quite similarly, did you know that I was a DJ and I was able to get a lot of jobs through working through the radio stations that I was. And I was a good DJ, not a great DJ, a good DJ. I was a very good beat mixer. And I was very, very good. My best skill was selecting music because I had access that other DJs didn't necessarily have, because I would see radio station research and other back-end info that helped us pick the right song. So I could look at a DJ and go, nah, this is going to be a floor killer. Everybody's going to walk off, as opposed to something that's maybe a little bit new and I know this is going to go crazy and in a month everybody's going to know this song. So I had access to that. So those were my skills. I was a good beat mixer and I knew what songs to select. But as I moved through the profession, so to speak, I saw it was more about promoting. A lot of bars and club owners, you couldn't blame them, would rather have someone who would bring in a lot of people through promotion and advertising efforts, and skill and talent sometimes took a backseat to that. And that kind of irked me. And to that point, to keep this succinct and concise here in this episode, for Best of Toledo nominations, the dinner awards came out, or the food awards came out in this week's edition. I want to talk about that in a second. But moving forward, I guess Best of Toledo for the year, all the categories are up. And if you really think that I'm the best, I hate the word DJ. It's like saying iPod. It's just an antiquated, obsolete word. Personality, host. Like, I'm not sitting here playing records. And the songs that I'm playing, I'm not even hitting buttons on. They fire themselves on the monitor. But if you think I'm the best radio DJ, thank you. I appreciate you nominating me, and I hope to win. It would be a nice honor, but I'm not going to play a popularity contest. I'm not going to over-promote it just to win, just to get the award. If you feel I'm the best, thank you for nominating me. If you feel also, if you want to nominate me for the best podcast, I don't know of any others that are massively popular. Peapod, who works here at Cumulus, he's got his On the Radar podcast, which has been going for quite some time. Toledo Matters is also a big podcast. I think my buddy from Downtown 419, Danny Woodcock, is a part of that. Obviously, does great community stuff with that. But that's all I know of. But if you think my podcast is the best podcast, I would greatly appreciate the nomination. And I'm just going to go about my business. I've already passed along the link, but I'm not going to ram it down your face because I don't want to make it a popularity contest. I truly believe in integrity of talent and hard work. And ultimately, that pays off in popularity. To the best of Toledo for the food awards. Esoteric thought perhaps coming here, but I think you appreciate when I give you a map inside my brain. And I also think if you give me the opportunity to flesh out an opinion, maybe you'll be a little more understanding. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, the only people listening to this right now are the people that enjoy myself and the people that come on this show. Maybe somebody stumbles onto it and likes it or hates it, but you are what you are, and I thank you for being here. Best first date restaurant was Benchmark, which I've not been to, and I really like classy restaurants like that. My favorite, just because maybe it's close to home, is Registry. The food is really good. Erica is a great chef. I love there is no better aesthetic to me. Try to be very careful with words. There's no better aesthetic in all of the area to me than at Registry. The old architecture with the chic look about it, the high ceilings. They've got to be 20 feet tall. But the food is so good. And while I would say it's a very classy, stylish restaurant, I think the last time I was there was the first time I've ever seen people in hats in there. And if there was any restaurant in the entire city where I would say you should take your hat off, it's Registry, Final Cut, probably Mancy's. But we are Toledo, and part of the great thing about our city is that we are accepting of many different things. And part of what makes a place like Registry great is that restaurant in another city like Detroit, the meals would be 35% more. If you go to Final Cut or Rockwell's, you're going to pay like $45, $50 for a steak. In bigger cities, you'll probably pay $60 or $70. So cost of living here is exceptional. But the prices for the quality of food you get at Registry are exceptional. You can get a really delicious, filling, satisfying entree for like $23. It's hard to find that in other restaurants like that and steakhouses. But Benchmark, I have not been to, I'd like to go to. It was named Best First Date Place. To me, there's two kinds of first dates. If I am really interested in you and maybe I've wanted to catch your attention for a while and it just hasn't happened, or I've been maybe just bashful or shy to ask you out, had to work up the courage to do it, and it's been like this building crush, and you say yes, that That, to me, is the kind of person I really want to impress and go have a great meal at a place like that. If it's more along the lines of, like, we're just kind of hanging out, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, maybe we've got this connection that we should check out. We should flesh out a little bit more. To me, that's more of like a casual place. That's not necessarily where I want to go to a fine dining place like that. That's like a Mexican joint, El Tipico, or let's see, like Oliver House. We'll go to Mutz, something like that, where the aesthetic might not be, the aesthetic in the atmosphere might not be as intimidating. Because let's be honest, when you go to these restaurants, yes, you get great food, but the atmosphere is also something that you go for and you want to soak it in, as opposed to like bar grill type place like the Blarney or Hi Jessica at Bar Louie at the mall, where you go and you know the atmosphere, you're familiar with it, and you can really soak in with one another and see if there's a connection there. So does that make sense? Like two kinds of first date places. And it doesn't mean that one person is necessarily better than the other. It's just a different kind of interest. Hopefully that makes sense and you're not yelling all kinds of like crazy sexist gender things at me right now, because I know we are at a fever pitch right now with that. To the who you like kind of point, I've posted a couple of like sex relationship things the last couple of days on my Facebook. Yesterday was one I ripped right off of Instagram, and it was so much interaction. Wasn't men want sex every day until they meet a woman who wants sex every day? So true, because this is just Eric science. I'm guessing men think about sex. I think there's science to back this up, real science. Men think about sex all the time, more times a day per women. But when it comes to actually putting your genitalia where your mind is, I think women are probably more adept at that. But that post went over really well. Something else I threw out there today. Dating doesn't suck, but who you're attracted to sucks. And I really, like I said, I wanted to provoke some thought. And maybe I misworded that after reading it, because some people responded with, yeah, you date a person, you invest a lot into them, it's a relationship, and then you realize they suck. Some people admitted to having their picker off and just choosing the wrong people. Not necessarily, because you don't know everything you want and need to know about a person within a day, a week, or even a month. And people change and evolve or devolve. And this applies to both sexes. But I put it like this. My sentiment I was trying to convey with that was simply, it's disappointing, it's frustrating, and it sucks when you're attracted to a certain type of person and they do not reciprocate that attraction. Remember how on the old show I would talk about numbers, like always stay in your range. Like if you're a 6, you got to date like a 6, a 7. You got to stay with between like 4.5 and like 7.5. And if you're a 6 and you're aiming for 10s, like my dad, like Barry would say, great knowledge. You can apply this to who you're attracted to physically, emotionally, and psychologically. It's beyond just the superficial attraction. Like if you have an IQ of 7, we're not going to, I could care less if you were the most physically attractive person. We're not going to work. Not going to work at all, because I think I'm a pretty bright person. And if getting better, being intellectual, philosophizing is not your thing, then we're just not going to connect. My dad, Barry, would say, you got wine taste on a beer budget. Now, maybe that made a lot more sense back in the day when you couldn't buy wine for like $7.99 at Kroger. How about this? You've got black label tastes with a blue label budget. Talking about Johnny Walker. Or one more. You've got craft beer taste on a Natty Ice budget. That works. I'm going to have to go back to my dad with that one. So it is disappointing when you feel you're attracted to someone, but they do not reciprocate. And that goes, and that happens repeatedly. At that point, you need to reevaluate. You need to look in the mirror and go, Good to feel good about yourself. Good to be confident. Good to feel good about how you look, how you feel, what you wear and all that, and what you've made yourself as a person. But maybe you're still just a 6.3 and you're aiming for 9.3s. And this is life. Not everybody is cut out for everybody else. You could be the nicest person in the world, and there just might not be something there. And you can't take personal offense to that. But we are people, so we take things personally. Funny how that works, isn't it? The exercise is sympathy. By the way, If by some chance any of the Toledo Police Academy cadets who I got a chance to speak to today with my friends, my new friends, Joyce and Dr. Bob and my friend Crystal from NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Crystal invited me to come out. There was a, what is it, crisis intervention training today with the cadets, and Crystal wanted me to talk about how should those people handle someone with a mental health issue, which is me, and it's very unlikely that I would be one of those people because I am a law-abiding citizen. But as I mentioned to Joyce and Dr. Bob and some of the other people in the small group after the discussion today, I do believe that many of us are one bad day away from reverting, as Crystal said, back to our id. You might have heard me talk before, and I say that suicide is not a natural thought because humans for a quarter of a million years have been wired to survive. So if you wake up and feel like you want to kill yourself, something's wrong because you can't beat your DNA and your genes. Similarly, because we wanted to survive for a quarter of a million years, it's very like Walking Dead-like. When you come across neighbors, it's not often, there's a reason why conflict happens because there are limited resources. So we revert back to our archaic, carnal selves. But again, That's who I think we are at the core. And I'm going to do more research on this so I can flesh out this thought and hopefully even be more accurate or maybe affirm my thought. But while we might be carnal and at our root evil, most of us, 99% of us are law-abiding. It's unfortunate, but the laws are for, you know, the 1% of people who will break those laws and need to be punished for them. Again, we might be bad people, but we have societally, through civilization, agreed to abide by these laws. But to those Toledo police officers, I was so ramped up because I was waiting for Joyce and Dr. Bob and Crystal to finish speaking. I just zoomed right into it, and they were helpful in me presenting to these officers. I forgot to say to them, thank you for choosing to put yourself between me and the bad person, or put yourself as a shield in front of me and others between the bad people. So thank you for making that sacrifice. You are not nearly financially rewarded enough. So thank you for making not the sacrifice of your life, but the sacrifice to exercise all of that courage in one spot. So thank you for doing that. And good luck to all those cadets. One of the things that I shared with them briefly was, as I mentioned earlier, be a cynic to your own cynicism. I was talking to my buddy today, Jen from the Suicide Coalition, my work girlfriend, and all that stuff. Jen, you know, I say that lovingly. She said she ran into somebody who got upset over a bagel today. Read a Facebook post that talked about some woman went AWOL, went sideways on some fast food employee over a messed up order. And another instance today, I was like, why is that person trying so strenuously to back into that spot? It's a beautiful day. Go park 10 feet. Why do you have to be that close? This is the old case of put yourself in that person's shoes. And it is trite and it is banal. It's mindless. We just gloss over it. So I think Dr. Andrea says it's reframing, and that's what I try to do. I try to be a cynic to my own thoughts. In one of the books that I read long, long ago, amid my own personal mental health journey, it was something along the lines of, when someone is like cutting people off on the road, or they race through a light, or they're driving recklessly, don't think angrily towards them and go, don't feel like that person is personally out to get you, which is our instant reaction. Don't tell me it isn't otherwise. We always revert to our instincts, as we've mentioned a couple of times here. Think about it the other way. Reframe it this way. I wonder what caused that person to be in such a hurry. Question it even more. Open it up even more. Maybe that person had a personal situation at home and is perhaps working for a boss who has a short fuse, who has had their own issues, and they felt the need that they needed to race in and put other people at risk. Granted, terrible decision. I'm not absolving them of their reckless driving. I'm just saying, put yourself in their shoes. For instance, with the girl today, whose post said somebody snapped at a fast food worker. And I shouldn't have done it because people are just, because of the Kavanaugh and Ford stuff, people are just too argumentative today on the internet. And that's why I backed off of it. And I should have kept to the sex and dating post. And I almost wanted to delete the comment, but I try not to do that because I want to leave my stuff out there. And maybe people will give me the opportunity to explain my thought process, my often esoteric thought process, or you will correct my thinking and I will go, thank you. But it was just the wrong day to argue with people on the internet because of that hair trigger. And I said, basically, you don't know what's happening in that person's life. I was being too didactic today. I was trying to teach too many lessons after giving some talks the last couple of days, and that's not really my position to do that. I enjoy shedding some knowledge or sharing some knowledge and wisdom, but I got to be more choosy. And this is the cathartic part of this. Today was not the day to do this. But I do ask you to consider those things. Question your instant, automatic, negative, hateful, aggressive thoughts. Let's just use that as an example. That woman snapped because, whatever, the bagel was wrong, not enough lettuce, and she specifically ordered extra lettuce or said no mustard, and there's extra mustard on there. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. And no, it's not right of that person to flip out on the retail or the fast food employee or whoever. And if someone does that to you, I ask you to just, and this is where we're trying to exercise those sympathy muscles. We're trying to build them. And if you want to tell me that I'm being soft and sensitive, fine. It doesn't sound like I am, but I think that might be an automatic thought of yours. I'm simply saying, question your automatic thoughts. Why is that person flipping out at mustard? Maybe they're on the verge of losing their husband. Maybe they just came from the hospital and they got awful news about a family member. Maybe they just studied their behind off, but because they have a dick of a professor, decided to go B minus or B plus instead of A minus. And now that's changed the GPA and it's going to cost them a lot of money. Look, I'm just speculating, and maybe it's not so unicorns and fairy dust. Maybe these people are just assholes. Okay, fine. There are assholes in the world. You have to learn to deal with them and realize that they may drag you down, but do your best to put a force field around yourself. For instance, when I was walking the dogs, trying to shed this before I got the heads up that I could pop in here, why is that person creating a small mess in the road on, what road is that? Was it Lafayette? Why is this person trying to park like this so strenuously? Just go on the other side of the street, walk a little bit farther, and quit, you know, being in a dangerous spot and looking like a fool. Well, it's me saying you look like a fool, but you are kind of maybe backing up traffic. Somebody could come around the corner real fast and hit you and so on and so forth. Stop, Eric. Stop being critical like that. Eric, what if that person has some kind of handicap? What if that person has just gotten off of some kind of leg surgery, Achilles surgery? What if that person just needs to park closer? Okay, and look, I don't know that any of those things are true, just like I don't know that that person had a dick of a professor and now that person is taking their mustard out on that employee. I don't know that, but it does create something that we all often lack, perspective. Perspective and context are vital to almost everything, and we are human beings. Look, as much as I say that I can compartmentalize a lot of things, I can be, like I mentioned earlier, I told those police officers today, there are days where I go, I'm a good person. I take good care of my dogs. I think I am compassionate and loyal to my friends. I think I do good for the community. Why does this depression keep coming back? Maybe it's not worth it to be the good guy anymore. Maybe it's okay to give in to the psychopathic thoughts that I have at times. I told those police officers, you know, there are times when I have those days, I have those thoughts, those fantasies that, you know what? What's that cop doing shooting people for speeding right there? I'm going to run my car into them. I'll show them. But I have impulse control, thankfully. I am the one in four who suffer a mental health problem. not the one in five where there's paranoid schizophrenia, which I heard about today, where people are hearing voices, violent. I'm not that person. I am able to control those impulses, thankfully. But those thoughts are in my head. And we are people. And as much as I can compartmentalize that, and as much as I am compassionate, as I will be next week during the Out of the Darkness walk for suicide awareness and prevention, I hope you can come out and get some perspective about people who have been through that and get some education and talk to the people who are there for resources with mental health. Get that perspective. Get that knowledge. So we all know that, you know, the ignorant people are often not educated. That's what happens with their erratic opinions and vile hate. We know, we've learned too much lately that, you know, hate is learned. So come out there next week. And as much as I can compartmentalize and be compassionate and let these people into my life and try to help them in any way possible, there are days where I think about being the bad guy. And I'll never do that because, well, one, I don't want to let my dad down. I don't want to kill myself because I don't want to let my dad down. He's my tent pole. He's my cornerstone I hone in on when I get those, when the bleakness and the darkness and the hopelessness comes. When I think about maybe I should be the bad guy. Maybe I should just do bad things because it's fun. Maybe it will reward me. Maybe it'll feel better and be more rewarding and it'll be a better payoff than being a good person because the darkness still comes anyway. I think about those people that I'm able to help. And I would let all of them down, kind of like Two-Face and Harvey in The Dark Knight, why they had to keep all his hate, all the bad things he did. That's why Batman and Commissioner Gordon had to keep that quiet. They had to let people believe. And there's a great quote somewhere in there. Sometimes you just have to let people believe. And I've got to make sure that people can still believe in me. And that's why I can't ever be the bad guy, no matter how badly I want to be that person sometimes. It was interesting sharing that with police officers today. But while you might not like what I say, I hope that I still earn your respect for being candid and forthcoming. And I think I'm not perfect, and I'm going to keep striving. The only reason I wake up every day, one, I mean, I'm going to check my email and my Facebook. I'm going to do a good radio show for you and a podcast, but I wake up so that I can get a little bit better each day as a human being, that I can contribute a little bit more, help a little bit, help people out in there. There's the good in me, and I want to stay on that side. Every night I want to go to sleep a little bit better of an Eric and a person than I woke up. So, I do feel better. Thank you for that catharsis, and you know where to listen for next time.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.